imitated. Children will imitate from the time they're little. If you show little kids a film, a kung fu film, the next thing you see them, they're all kicking each other. Because we imitate by nature. It's human nature to imitate. People now, if you look at the way they dress, they're imitating Western people because they think Western people are something to be imitated. That Muslims in Malaysia used to wear their own clothes, they had their own identity. Now they dress like Western people. Why? Because they're imitating them. People imitate. This is human nature to imitate, and they imitate what they think is better. So there's people now, they get tattoos. Why? Because they see famous people, these movie stars and rock stars and things, they have tattoos. Oh, I want to be like them. So they imitate. This is human nature to imitate. But the point is to imitate the best. That's what humans want to do. They imitate what they think is the best. And the Prophet is khayrul khalqi, that he's the best of creation. Therefore, everything he does is worth imitating. Because we're going to imitate. Humans are going to imitate. There's nothing you can do that hasn't been done before. There's nothing that you can do that you haven't seen somebody do before. And so, because we're imitating, or some people are inspired to do something original, it's very rare, but it does happen, and some are demonically inspired. Because Iblis has lots of things that he teaches people. And then other people imitate them. So because the Prophet is the best of creation, he's the one that we should imitate. In our character, because you have a vast character. Allah used Allah. He didn't say wa inna laka khuluqan azim. He said wa innaka la'ala isti'daa. It means that it's as if he's mastered all of the good character. The Prophet ﷺ. The Allah there is for isti'daa, that he's over it. Something that he possesses fully, completely. It's not just his. He mastered it. He controls it. So he was the best of creation. He said, one of you will reach with good character what even a person praying and fasting all the time does not reach. He said, أَقْرَبَكُمْ إِلَيَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَحْسِنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. The closest people to me on the يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ are the people of the good character. The best people. He said, إِنَّمَا بُعِدْتُ لِتُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was only sent to complete, to perfect, to give people مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. The noble qualities, the noble way of dressing. He dressed in a noble way. He covered his head, although he went out sometimes without something on his head to show people that it was permissible. So, رُبَّمَا يَفَعَلُونَ مَكْرُوهِ مُبَيِّنًا أَنَّهُ لِلتَّنْزِيهِ. Sidi Abdullah says in Maraqi Sa'ud that sometimes he will do something makruh to show that it's permitted. The Prophet, his sunnah was, if he relieved himself, was to squat. But he, on occasion, he did that standing up to show people that in certain situations it's makruh, but it's permissible, it's not haram. And so he will do something, when he does it, it's not makruh for him. Because he's showing people, but even though he did it to show us the permissibility, it's still considered makruh. But not for him. In that case, it's tashri'ah. He's giving us his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing what is permissible and what's prohibited. Abu Dawood, Sulaiman ibn al-Ash'ar, al-Sijistani, he was one of the great muhaddithin. He died in 275. He was originally, he's a Persian. He was in Baghdad, he moved to Al-Basra, he's considered Muhaddith Al-Basra, the Muhaddith of Al-Basra. They said when he gave hadith, they had thousands of inkwells in the masjid. They were writing everything down he said. He said, I have collected 500,000, half a million hadith of the Prophet. Now that doesn't mean that the Prophet said half a million things, but he's talking about the asanid. So you can have one hadith has many transmissions. There's about a little over 50,000 sayings of the Prophet. Some of them are muqarrar, they're repeated. Al-Bukhari has about 7,000. They're less than 5,000 if you take out the repetitive ones, but sometimes he will mention same hadith in another chapter, because it relates to different chapters. Imam Malik collected, he memorized over 100,000 hadith, he was hafiz, and he spent 40 years bringing his muwaffaq closer and closer to what he wanted until he got to about 1,200 statements. Only 800 of them were from the hadith. One of the problems of the modern era is Muslims now, they read hadith and they're not trained to read hadith. A hadith will lead you astray if you're not a scholar. You will go astray in hadith, and the proof of that is Ibn Wahdan, one of the great muhaddithin, one of the rijal of Imam al-Bukhari. Ibn Wahdan said, حَفِرْتُ مِنَ الْأَحَدِيثِ حَتَّى تَحَيَّرْتُ. I memorized so many hadith I became confused, because he would see things that the Prophet said one thing and then another hadith appeared to contradict it. He became confused. He said, لَوْلَا مَالِكُ وَلَيْهِ لَحَلَقْتُ. If it wasn't for Imam Malik and Imam Layth, I would have perished in confusion. This is a great scholar. He was a great scholar before he met Malik and Layth, and he was saying that the hadith would lead him astray had it not been for Malik and Layth. Because Malik would tell him, take that, don't take that. Take that, don't take that. This is the practice of the Prophet. This one is abrogated, like this. So Muslims, unfortunately, now they buy a Bukhari, and they start reading it for themselves, even in translation. They get Muhsin Khan's translation, and they start reading it for themselves. And then they go and they start quoting hadith and saying the Prophet said this or that. They don't know if it's abrogated, if it's abrogating. They don't know what were the circumstances. There's something called, just like in the Quran, you have asbab al-wurud, asbab al-nuzul. In hadith, you have asbab al-wurud. The Prophet said things for a specific reason. Sometimes he was acting as an ali. Sometimes he was acting as a mufti. Sometimes he was acting as somebody giving advice. Sometimes he was acting as a muballigh that he was told to say, "Ana sayyidu al-adam wa la fakhr." I am the master of the children of Adam, and I'm not boasting. That was tabligh. He had to say it. He wasn't told. He was told to say that. He never boasted. So he said, "I am sayyid of the children of Adam. I'm their sayyid, and I'm not boasting." In other words, I was commanded to tell you this just so you know who I am. Abayal said in the hadith where he said, somebody said, Ya Sayyidina, he said, Ya Sayyidina Allah. Or in another riwayah, he said, Your Sayyid is Ibrahim. Abayal said he didn't know at that time that he was the Sayyid of the children of Adam, because the Prophet himself was increasing in knowledge. Things were being revealed to him. So it's very important that Muslims know. Even the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, you should read that with a scholar, because there's some hadith in there that are very confusing. أُمِرْتُ بِالْقَاتِ الْنَاسِ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I was commanded to fight people until they say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. The ayah contradicts that statement. But the ulama say the nas there are the people of the Arabian Peninsula. They're not everybody. People have a choice with Islam. But the Arabs of the Arabian Peninsula were not given a choice. They were told either to become Muslim or leave the peninsula. Because the Arabian Peninsula is like the Vatican of the Muslims, Sheikh Abdullah bin Bayya says. It's, the Vatican is only for Catholics. The Arabian Peninsula, لَا يَسْتَمِعَانِ لَا يَسْتَمِعَانِ دِينَانِ فِي جَزِيرَةَ الْعَرَبِ. No two religions can be combined on the Arabian Peninsula. It's for Muslims. The hijab. So although Imam Dawood, he said, I memorized over 500,000 hadith. And I chose from them what I put in my book, which is called Sunan Abi Dawood. The Sunan of Abi Dawood. It's one of the six collections. And it's considered a very sound book. It has some weak hadith in it. All the collections have some problematic hadith. But Bukhari and Muslim Muttafaq Alayh is the strongest, then al-Bukhari, then Muslim al-Sharti al-Bukhari, and then Muslim al-Sharti, and like that it goes. But Abu Dawud is one of the strong collections. He said, it's enough for the religion of a man to only practice four hadiths. Now when somebody of the stature of Abu Dawud says that, you should pay attention to those four hadiths. Because we want to imitate the Prophet. The first hadith he said, which is from Umar ibn al-Khattab, is related by both Sahih Muslim and Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Al-Bukhari precedes Muslim in the adab of the muhaddithin. like Malik precedes al-Bukhari, Ahmed precedes al-Bukhari, so that there's an order to this. And in the old books you see this adab, but in the new books you don't see it. People will say, Rahu al-Bukhari wa Malik wa Ahmed. That's wrong. It should say, Rahu Malik wa Ahmed wa Bukhari, like that. That's the adab of the Muhammadin. So he said, four hadiths, this is what you need for your religion. Kafa bil mar'i, minha arba'a, it's enough. Kafa bil mar'i li dinihi, it's enough for his religion to practice four hadith. The first one, innama al-a'malu bil niyyat, wa innama li kulli imrin ma nawa. Faman kanat hidayatuhu ila Allahi wa rasulihi, fa hidayatuhu ila Allahi wa rasulihi. Faman kanat hidayatuhu li dunya yusifuha, aw imra'atin yankihuha. This is related by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim in their two books, which are considered the soundest books after the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they call As-Sahih Kutub Musannafa, the soundest books that were written by man. Because Quran is a revelation by God. The hadith are revelation, but they don't have a hibr of the Quran. They have a hibr collectively, but not individually as hadith. There can be mistakes in them. So in that hadith, and this is a qaida in our tradition, it's a principle, an axiom, that umur bi maqasidiha, matters are by the intentions behind those matters. People are judged by their intentions, not by their actions. Our ulama were so specific that they determined the nature of thoughts. They categorized thoughts. The hajj is a thought, the khatak is a thought, the ham is a thought, and the azima is a thought. The only thing you're taking into account for is your azimah. The hadith is just something goes quickly through your mind. You might even have a bad thought, but it just passes, nothing. And then the khatr is a thought, it's a little more serious than a hadith, but it's not, it's just a thought, it passes. But then you have a hum. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِهَا فَلَهُ أَجَرٌ. If you have a hum, in other words, you're thinking about doing something seriously, but you haven't determined to do it, you get a reward just for thinking about doing a good deed. And if you think about a bad deed, a hum, you don't get, it's not written against you unless you do it. This is from the Rahmah of Allah. But the azima, once you've determined to do something, even if you don't do it, it's written against you. So if somebody's setting out to rob a bank, but they get hit by a car on the way, they get the sin of robbing the bank because they were going to do it if they could. It's azima. وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكِّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Once you determine to do something, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Allah says to His Prophet. So azima is important. فَعَزَاءً, what you want to do. That is a very important hadith because niyyah is extremely important. The second hadith that he said was important, as he said, which is a hadith that's related by and he said, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامَ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. From the beautiful Islam, the adorning Islam of a Muslim, of a man, a woman, is to mind his own business. To leave what doesn't concern him. If people would just practice this one hadith, 90% of the world's problems would end. If people would just mind their own business, but no, go on the internet, oh, did you hear? So-and-so did this. That, right? This is how fitness starts, from people not minding their own business. The Imam al-Ghazali says, if you're not from Ahlul Ilm, أَقْبِلْ عَلَى شَأْنَةً. Don't engage in argument or disputation, because you have no authority to do that. We have people now setting themselves up as muftis. They go to Sheikh Google, and then they give you their fatwa. We have weekend warriors. Seriously, this is a crisis in our ummah. We have people that are untrained. Anybody can become a scholar. Anybody. If you are willing to put in the time, the energy, if you sit with the people of knowledge, if you spend the time, if you spend the time memorizing, because a lot of this religion is, you have to memorize the tradition. If you do these things, if you study usul al-fiqh, if you study nahw, you have to study nahw and sarf, you have to study balagha before you can give tafsir, because Quran, you have to understand what's balagha and what's not balagha. You have to understand what's isti'ara, you have to understand what's tempting. You have to understand what kinaya is. You have to understand tibah and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That's the nasha. All these things that have to be learned so that you can understand the Quran. People say, Sahaba didn't know that. They knew it intuitively. They knew these things intuitively. They were masters of their language. But people later, they have to learn it. So, leaving what doesn't concern you, minding your own business. It's very important to mind your own business. And then he said, the next hadith, so those are two. The next hadith, he said, Abu Dawud, لَا يَعْلَمُ أَحَدُكُمْ. This is a hadith that Anas ibn Malik, father of the Prophet relates. And it's Imam Nawawi puts it in his 40 hadith because it's so important. He also puts the other two in the 40 hadith. Imam, Malik ibn Anas, Anas ibn Malik, Abu Hamza, he was the servant of the Prophet. At a very young age, he was brought to the Prophet and he served him. The Prophet never said to him once, if he did something that he should have done, why did you do that? And if he didn't do something he should have done, why didn't you do that? Ever. This was the akhlaq of the Prophet. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Anas relates this hadith, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. And in a riwayah, لَا يَكُونَ الْمُؤْمِنُ مُؤْمِنًا. The believer is not a true believer. So he calls him a mu'min, and this is important. لَا يَكُونَ الْمُؤْمِنُ مُؤْمِنًا. In other words, he's not a true believer. He has belief. But his belief is not firm until he loves for his brother. And that includes the men and women. The Arabic includes men and women in the masculine gender. He loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Imam al-Nawawi, Imam the great Maliki scholar, Shabakhiti, Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, the great Imams of Hadith said, this Hadith, يَشْمَلْ الْيَهُودِ وَالْنَصْرَانِ وَالْمُشْرِكِ. It includes Jews, Christians, Buddhists, Hindus. In all humanity is included in this hadith. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتِّي يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ الْإِنسَانِ. And do you love for other human beings what you love for yourself? You love for them guidance. If you didn't love for them guidance, you wouldn't make da'wah. And if you didn't love them, you wouldn't treat them well. And if you didn't treat them well, why would they be encouraged to become Muslim? If you were harsh and hard-hearted, nobody would listen to you. But you want for them good. You want for them good, human beings, wherever they are. You want for them good. This is our Prophet's way, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted good. Maybe you're over-grieved about these disbelievers if they won't believe. The Prophet was troubled that they wouldn't believe. So this was a really important hadith. And then finally, the last hadith that he said is, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنُهُمْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنُهُمْ وَبَيْنُهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. The halal is clear and the haram is clear, and between them are unclear matters. Not many people know them. These are the ulama, and even the ulama differ on some of them. We have a qaida in our religion, al-mujma'u alayhi yunkaw, wa al-mukhtalifihi la yunkaw. That what's agreed upon by the scholars as haram, you reject it. But where they differ, you leave it. وَسَكَتَ عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ بِكُمْ لَا نِسْيَانَ. Allah was silent about things as a mercy, not because He forgot. So He left things as a mercy to us. Had He mentioned everything, it might have constricted us. But He left things, and this is where you have khilafat. And this is where you have urf. Urf comes in. I learned yesterday about the urf in this tradition. Here in this country, that if a woman gets divorced, she gets a portion of the husband's money. And the ulama agreed on that. In classical Islam, the ulama wouldn't have agreed on that. But because urf is part of our religion, al-'ada muhakkama, that customs of the people are considered part of legislation, And so Islam honors the traditions of people. Wherever it goes, it honors people as long as it doesn't go against the Sharia. If people are content with it and it doesn't go against the Sharia. Many examples of that. So there are many things that are mukhtalifih in our religion. But the halal is clear and the haram is clear, and we should focus on those things. The early ulama did not like to say this is halal and this is haram. Right? They didn't like to say that. Imam Malik in I'lam al-Muwaqqi'in, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah said that Imam Malik said, I adraktu unasan min al-tabi'in, ma kana yaqulu ahadun hadha halal or hadha haram. They kana yaqulu la yu'jibuni hadha, la ba'su bi hadha. They said, I don't like that, this is okay, no harm in that. But they didn't like to use haram because Allah is the musharrak. And by majaz, metaphorically, his prophet is the musharrak. Allah is the only one that can legislate. And the Prophet, because he's a representative of Allah on earth, he represents our Lord. But no one can say something is haram except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَصْلُ الْأَشَاءِ إِبَاحًا. The foundation of all things is permissibility. Eat and drink, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا. Eat and drink. Everything is permissible to eat and drink. Except a few things Allah prohibited because they're not good for us. We can't eat khinzir. We can't eat dead carrion, mayta. We can't eat something that was struck and killed. Things like that, the thing that falls from a cliff and dies. Those things we can't eat. We can't eat things that are harmful for us, like cigarettes. The vast majority of ulama, there's really an agreement now. The ulama, early ulama differed on it. But now we know the harm of smoking. The ulama said that's right. We have to focus on the important things now, because so many of young people, they don't have any consideration for the haram now. Because the ulama keeps saying haram, 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 everything's haram until nothing's haram. So the scholars have to be very careful about saying haram and halal. Make focus on the big things. And let people come into the Islam slowly. As their iman grows, they'll even leave the permissible things out of fear of Allah. Because Imam Sayyidina Ali said, a dunya, halaluha hisab wa haramuha iqab. The halal of the dunya is a reckoning on Yawm Qiyamah, and the haram is a punishment on Yawm Qiyamah. So this is important. We have to, these four hadiths, Abu Dawud, who memorized over 500,000, he said, I chose from all of those the book, the Sunan, and from that he chose these four hadiths saying that they will suffice a person for the religion if he practices them. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم لسائر المسلمين اللهم احفظ هذا البلد اللهم بارك في ماليزيا وفي اهلها وفي احكامها وفي سلاطينها اللهم وفق المسلمين في مشارق الارض ومغاربها اللهم وفق اخواننا في غزه اللهم امن اوطاننا اللهم امن اوطاننا في سوريا وفي الشام وفي العراق وفي ليبيا وفي مصر وفي اليمن وفي كشمير وفي تشيشنيا وفي كل مكان في الفلبين حيث يرحمون يا رحمن الرحيم انت ارحم الراحمين نستغفر الله ونتوب اليك